some change. Welcome everybody to Champions Way Sports. I'm your host, Jeff Raines, and let me just introduce my two colleagues. Well, one right now, the other one's running a little late. Patrick Polo. Patrick, how you been this week, man?
I've been having a blast this week. Excited to see some positive things happening for the school and where we're going.
Yeah.
Excitement with our visitor here.
Oh, yeah. Yet again, guys, y'all see it. No difference as always. We've tracked down another former player. We really want to show, you know, them the love, support that they most rightly deserve in our eyes by paving the way for the future Noles. So please join me in welcoming a former Carroll High Chief from Miami, Florida, a member of the Wire to Wire 99 National Champion football team, Mr. Donald Heaven. Donald, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Exciting times. Definitely exciting times.
Oh, yeah. Really, I mean, the first question, I mean, growing up like many of us did in the late 80s, early 90s, it wasn't really anything to do outside. We really made to play outside until really the streetlights came on. So, like us, we played sports. Growing up, really, who kind of pushed you to play football or do track, and where did that passion start?
Well, track is something in my family. My father was a track athlete, a collegiate athlete coming from Jamaica. So that was always in around. I grew up doing shot and discus and everything like that. Funny story is, when I got to high school is when I started playing football. And pretty much, you know, it's the regular moniker. I started playing football because, you know, that's where all the girls seem to like the football. So, kind of wanted to get to where they were at, but they try to get their interest. Man, I happen to be big, strong, fast, so coaches fell in love with me, and that's the story from there.
So
that's how I kind of got into all that stuff was football. Going to Miami Carroll City, man, our coach was a real deal, so it's out of you. Before I fell in love with the sport after that. I just love the competition. I love violence. I actually like the violence. It was fun. So
yeah.
That definitely sparked the love.
Yeah.
Hey, so we talk about the love of the game.
You were recruited. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was gonna say, we talk about the love of the game and the different sports, multi-sports. We all did it in high school. What was the recruiting like then versus, I mean, what we're seeing recruiting now? I mean, what was it like for back in that era?
It was a lot more hush. That's one thing. Like, we didn't have the social media and all kind of things going on. That, like, we kind of knew to keep things quiet. There was not a...
We lost them.
Yep. I think he's back.
Sorry, I had a phone call. Yeah, so we knew to keep things quiet. We didn't have a lot of posts and stuff. And I think the coaches are able to get a little bit more personal, especially with the social media, being able to contact the athletes more and be able to get to know them a little bit more. For us, it was, we just going to a spot to play ball. We didn't to get. To get that kind of relationship that you've been creating on a recruiting trail, that we'd actually have to be at the school a little bit more and visit it a little bit more. Now they got the social media, they're talking, they're able to. So you're able to develop a better relationship with the kids now before they even get to the school.
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
In 95, I mean, you were recruited by who? I mean, Chuck Amato, I believe, was the defensive line coach and all that, because you was actually recruited as a defensive lineman.
Well, you know, I was it was Odell who actually started because Eric Hayes was his Odell and Eric Hayes are really close. So Eric Hayes was my coach in high school. So he had a real big involvement in my recruitment. Once Chuck came down, Chuck Amato, Mr. Coach Amato came and they recruited me just as well. But it was also as much Odell and Eric Hayes influence as much, just as much going making my day.
Yeah. I mean, Odell was the O-line coach before you got there.
He didn't even get into the recruiting until like late into the game. Cause at first I was a D-line.
So, I mean, who talked you in from going to D-line to O-line?
The playing time. Playing time made that decision because when coming in, I came in close to second team already as soon as I came into the, as a true freshman, playing offensive line. D-lineman, I would have to wait. I would have to put in some work, lose some weight. I was already 310. They wanted me around 285. So, as an O-lineman, I just had to learn the plays and get strong. And I thought that was the easier path. I think the easiest path to get on the field. So, that's really what that direction. Plus, it's fun to push people around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and we talked a little bit before. I mean, you came in with one of the best, really, like I said, right in the middle of the three probably best years of recruiting. I mean, we talked – you come in with Tarlos Thomas, Snoop Menace, Jared Moon. I mean, that recruiting class played in, I mean, three national championships.
Four.
If you look at it,
It was four.
Well, four, yeah. I mean, four. But, you played, the 96. And then, I mean, what was the mindset for the recruiting classes coming in when y'all got there? What was y'all's mindset?
We was always trying to load up. Like, all right, so for us, for me, it was always a challenge. Like, if the best one to go there, I wanted to be where the best one. So, being recruited, we played in the Florida-Georgia game to find out that, like, most of the linemen in the Florida-Georgia game were going to FSU. Like, we had, on the Florida side, we had four linemen going to Florida. I mean, FSU, and then on the other side, they have, like, two guys from Georgia going to FSU. So, knowing that I was playing amongst the best, to have the best in Florida, that was one of the big goals. We always wanted to play with the best. So, when you kind of know who you know when you go on the recruiting trail, you know who's the top dogs going to. If he's going there, I kind of want to play with the bigger. I want to play where you consider the best. So that was always our mind frame. We're just coming in to set a standard and win. That was always our mind frame. That was the FSU mind frame.
Matt, you got anything you want to ask?
Hey, how's it going, Donald? I'm sorry I'm a little late there.
That's the problem.
I got to ask, what was it like being around? I mean, you were around, you talked about some awesome talent. What was it like off the field with those guys? Did y'all have a really strong bond, or was it like, the offense on this side, defense, did everyone kind of get along?
No, we was real close. It was the thing that's the Bobby Bowden really was big on having that family atmosphere and being close off and on the field. Like, we all lived at Burt Reynolds for the first year. And I think that bonding us living in Burt, like, everybody has to get up the same time for mat drills. The fact that we would hang out during spring break or the summer, we would work out, have our summer workouts and chill out by the pool and then have some, have a barbecue at the pool area. But always going in each other's room playing video games, challenging each other, Madden, NBA Live, all that stuff. So it really created, like, they're my brothers. We're all brothers. They're all my brothers. You might not like your brother today, but at the end of the day, we all fight for each other because they're my brothers. And that's how it was.
Sorry. I was going to say, that kind of leads me to my next question. What's your favorite off-the-field memory from Florida State? And it'd be whatever it is.
I think after winning the national championship going to DC, that was awesome. That was a great experience. Be with the guys, being able to hang with the guys, and, you know, meeting Bill Clinton at the time. That was the pinnacle of it. That was the whole point. That was amazing. That was an amazing experience and adventure. I think that was one of the biggest highlight of the
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Matt Drills, and I seen on Twitter where you said something about Matt Drills the other day. Explain to the people that's listening and watching just how bad the Matt Drills sucked, because we see the tour of duty and I couldn't do what them kids are doing.
Right. And the thing about the tour of duty, that's the last day of Matt Drills. So yeah. that's supposed to be the best day of Matt Drills, because you're supposed to be acclimated by them. So I can only imagine that the first 2 weeks when they first started, they probably went through hell. Mad drill is a test of your intestinal fortitude. A word I learned from William Floyd. Test of fortitude. So that's what it is. Yeah, it challenges you. you gotta push yourself, and then when you feel like dying, pushing thought. That's a bad word to use, but when you feel like it's done, you gotta keep going. If you're showing weakness where you're like you feel like you're gonna quit, they actually go on you harder. They try to test you, push you. They want you to break. But your job is not to break. And that's what Matt Drills is to me more than anything. It's just trying to push you to that breaking point and figuring out that you can keep going. You can tell your body to go farther, faster than it's ever done. Keep working. So that's what the intensity of Matt Drills is. It's a whole different shock to the system. It's not what you're used to. You don't wake up 5:30 and you can't brush your teeth, you can't put water in your stomach because it's gonna come back out. It's one of those rock and sock and drag out type situations for sure.
Yeah. Patrick, we lost you for a second. You got anything to ask?
Sorry, my Wi-Fi just decided it was gonna quit working for the day. So one of the things I look back and I don't know if either of y'all hit this real quick, but the run that y'all could have had and that, you know, those years, you know, with the Tennessee and then the whole 13-2 OU debacle, what was the mentality after like those so close misses that, like, how did y'all want to bounce back from that?
It leaves you sick to your stomach because you don't expect to lose. We're going to every game expecting to win. So when we lose a hard one like that, or even the fact that we didn't play up to our standards, that's normally the case, not normally that we got beat. It's normally we didn't play to our standards, or we just made one more mistake than we could have. That's the mentality, that it's something we did. It's never that we got beat. It's something that we beat ourselves. I mean, that was always our mentality. And so we always got to push to get better, push to correct the way we need to, control what we can, and just keep pushing and try to get better. That was always my friend. So if we had a playoff system like they do now, I don't think we would have lost any of those dudes. So
I think if we would have had Wenke for the Tennessee game, would we have won it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't even think it was like outside did enough. If you ask me, it was just, we got fancy with the play calling. We tried to do a little too much. And it started to panic. We had a lot of trick plays with I don't think – there's something wrong with one of the receivers, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't just outs. It was a receiver that was down.
Was that Snoop?
Yeah, Snoop. Somebody was down that game. That was important. Not only just out on key. Yeah, I think we, even with Alton in there, we should have won. It's just a few big plays we gave up here and there, and he was able to capitalize on that. That really cost us that game.
Well, I mean, I got a question. I've asked. Go ahead, Matt.
Go for it, Jeff.
Go ahead.
All right. You mentioned the playoff a second ago. When you watch college football now, and if you even do watch college football, what do you think of the new postseason system and how it's played today?
I think it's interesting, actually, you know, getting those extra games. You get, you know, we only play like 12 to 13 games at the most. They play a whole lot more with the playoffs, making it to the playoffs. I think it's cool. I think it's what is needed. I'm actually looking forward to a 12-game playoff. I think that brings an extra element to the game that we might that college football was beginning to lack. You know, everybody's always talking about disparity, getting more teams involved. I think this is a way to get more teams involved around it. And then if you lose, you're not punished as hard. You're able to actually get a chance to get back and redeem yourself. And that's a lot of times, like, if you lose late in the season, that normally is a death sentence for as far as making the playoff run or anything like that. It's no longer a death sentence. So I think that's also the best part about it. The teams actually have a chance to bounce back and recover after just one loss or two losses. It's not the end of the road, per se. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I ask everybody that I can that's played football at Florida State, what's the one story behind the scenes that you've got that you remember Coach Bowden for? Because I've talked to quite a few, and Tony Yeomans is – one of my favorite ones to talk to about him. But, I mean, just from your perspective, I mean, what's something that people don't know about Coach Bowden that kind of affected you or, you know, that you remember?
One of the biggest things about Coach was that he was he might not have known your name, but he knew who you were. Like, he knew my mom more than he knew me, I felt like, because he remembers the curry chicken. Mom cooked to this day. So every time he sees me, you want to get that good curry chicken? You know? that was always the fun part about him. He remembered that I have a Jamaican heritage and everything. So he tried his best to pair us up with the other guys. Like RJ Wadsworth also was a Jamaican heritage. Wayne Messer was a Jamaican heritage. So he would pair us up, you know, hoping that we have that interest in. He always make a reminder, and that's one thing. He let you know that even though he might forget your name, he still knew who you were. He knew who his players were on his team. And he was always easy to talk to and approachable. He made himself available, and he does it. It's the respect he had for the other coaches and other programs. Even though it was a message that we still dominate, he still held highest respect for everybody. You don't have to be nasty. You get what I'm saying? You can still grind the guy to the ground and still be nice with Bobby. That's what I get from Bobby a lot. He kill you with kindness. He was good at that.
You mentioned. Go for it, Jeff. Sorry. Keep cutting me off. Sorry.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You mentioned behind the scenes stuff. You guys talk about behind the scenes stuff. What was it like during the Peter Work issue? Like, what was that locker room like?
Truthfully, I mean, first we all it was in the wind whether he was going to play or not. Then when we finally got the ruling that he got suspended or whatever, it was. I don't know. Then trouble got kicked off the team for the same situation. So it was our locker room. We kind of bonded. We tried to come together and get a little stronger. That's the same year we lost to Tennessee. Peter Ward came back late. That's what happened. We lost Lavernius that year, if I'm not mistaken. Jeremy.
Yeah, that was year? The year. Yeah, that was the year Lavernius was
dismissed.
Dismissed, yeah.
And that's what happened. That's what happened in that Tennessee game. I remember we lost one big time contributor. That was Lavernius. We lost him, and that hurt us because he was a big problem. I think that was the one thing that got us rallying together and knowing that we had to step our game up as far as like offensive line wise because we didn't have that air attack that we had before. So
yeah,
I think that was. It was just more of a focus mentality, a workman mentality that, okay, lost this guy. And then we lost Winky throughout the year also with the neck injury. So it's just next man up mentality. Just keep working.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier you also played track. He was also what was it? Weight throw,
shot
discus, and shot put. But you know, how hard was it? Because I've talked to Bobby Butler, who was also a track athlete. How hard was it? Because when track season's really kicking in, like right now, like they're getting ready, they're working out to get ready for, you know, a push at the NCAA championships. It's spring football. How difficult was it for two sport athletes, especially track ones, to, you know, stay around the team and still do their track stuff?
It was extremely hard. But see, the one thing about, well, I didn't have the same kind of free reign like the runners had. Like, we had Jermaine Springer, Travis Miner, Devon Walker when I was there my last 2 years. They were heavy in the track scene. Those athletes, because they were runners and everything, they were excluded from a lot of the spring events. Unlike them, I wasn't allowed to miss any springs for throwing. So it was a challenging, definitely. I would get up at 7 in the morning to do track practice and then go to spring football later. And then I would go from one scrimmage and then fly up to a track meet later to do like ACCs or anything after a spring football game. It was charter a flight for me after the fact. So it was definitely challenging. It was a lot going on, but I loved it. I loved it being busy. I've always been used to doing two sports, so I didn't see it as a burden. The only thing, probably my schooling took a little hit from it.
and then when I did have my daughter when I turned 21, that also made things challenging. But at the end of the day, it was something rewarding for me for football. Like completing a football season and then going through track was always my reward for doing football. So that was how I thought about it, of course.
Yeah. Speaking of your daughter, I mean, mm-hmm. she's track star at Florida State and one hell of a track star, really. Yep. Number two in all time in what is it, shot put, I think it is.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, and really, somebody really going to make a push in the NCAA run to try to bring a championship to Tallahassee. What is it to you, like, as a dad, you know, when my little son, you know, he tries to score a touchdown or does something, mm-hmm. you know, it almost kind of brings you to inside tears, really, is what I call it, because seeing just how proud you are. How proud are you of her for what she's accomplished in the Garnet and Gold?
I think it's amazing. It's a blessing. It's a huge blessing to have an athlete, to have your daughter be an athlete and as good an athlete to be able to go to your alma mater and also do as well. Create her own legacy. That's the goal I set for her. Just go there and create your own legacy. Don't just, you know, I know we have a great last name, but you want to bring that last name a little further, going a little further through your events and your sports. You want people to think of you as your own person, your own. You create your own legacy, and that's all I ever wanted for her. And the fact that she's out there doing it and making it happen, and her mom can't be more proud of her at that. So just to see her turn into a big grown woman, and you know, just doing her thing is an amazing thing. It's a blessing for sure.
Yeah. Patrick, Matt.
Yeah, so Donald, you know, we talk about alma maters and seeing what the school's doing, and we're going to swing this back to football. What do you see? What do you see for our team coming up this year? Where are you setting the bar at for them? Where are they going to meet your expectations?
Well, me personally, I think two losses is the most I could see. I see two losses at the most. 12-0 regular season, and it's probably even going to the playoffs. And for me, I always
believe you have a puncher's chance as long as you get there. So
I think they have a puncher's chance to do something really special,
especially with that offense. I'm in love with the offense. I'm in love with Norvell's offense. The multiple fronts, the different running schemes and angles, and
that stuff is not easy. And
the fact that he's able to get those guys to finally understand the concepts and get it going is a beautiful thing to see.
I love the backs. I love how they look.
I think once you have that established, that kind of ground game and everything, I think everything else opens up big time. And Travis, being Jordan Travis, is now in his, he's in his bag. He's definitely in his bag at this point. So I think that, like I said, two losses is the floor at this point. 12-0 is what I'm hoping, and a puncher's chance to actually get to the chip.
So talking about football, keep on that front. How often do you get to go back to sporting events in general, I guess, for Florida State? Do you get to go back once a year for maybe a football game, once for a basketball game?
Right. I try to make it at least twice, 2-3 times a year. I try to make at least one or two football games. And I try to come back for track season, of course. But that's during my season when I'm coaching, so it's kind of difficult during that season. But I try to make it at least one or two track meets.
Yeah. So, well, you just mentioned, you know, your coaching season and, you know, you mentoring kids, helping kids grow, really the sport of track and field. You're an assistant at Florida Memorial University right now, right?
That's correct.
And you also a throwing coach at Big Throw Athletics. I mean, what is it to you to give back to the sport of track and field and help grow the kids and grow that sport?
It means a lot. For me, it's opportunities. I love the fact that it gives the kids opportunities. Not everybody's a football star, and not everybody wants to play football. So this gives other kids an opportunity to realize that athletically to reach their peaks. Like, to be a good thrower, you have to challenge your body, and you have to be able to basically just push your limits to see how fast and how strong, how quick you can be, and how much under control you can be. That's the thing that I love. I love watching a kid unlock his potential. So those are the things that really gets me excited when I see a kid hit his marks or hit a PR. Just even see a kid that's normally in a shell, normally don't like to talk, and then they get around competition, and they see what they can do, and they start to come out of their shell and become a real person.
Instead of just being somebody, you know, a shell or behind the confidence role. So
I'm real big on that. I'm real big on helping the kids mentally get stronger and tougher. And football, I think track also helps football a lot.
I think the sport of track, if you see now, a lot of the coaches are looking for track numbers real time. They want to know if their athletes are throwing, the linemen are throwing. They want to know if they're being more, you know, acquiring these skills that makes them a better player, a ball player, and everything like that. So I love doing track. That's real big for me, especially this women's sports and the involvement I have in women's sports and everything. Being that I have a daughter, I like to see the women succeed and doing their best. So yeah, I get excited over that stuff. Really just giving back and helping the kids, man. Helping the kids get an opportunity to get further education and get a career. Be a professional or something else.
Matt, Patrick, y'all got anything?
Donald, you just said something that Jeff and I kind of hit on earlier today. We were chatting of being a professional or something else, and how that transitioned from being a D1 football player to going back to we'll call it the real world. I know that's probably a bad analogy to really use with that. But what was the transition like from going from, you know, having that college life to, okay, I got to transition, and how were you set up for that success?
I think it was a slow process for me personally. So getting out of college, I started playing a little bit of CFL for about 4 years. So that kept the structure and everything going. But once you finish playing sports and then transfer into the real life, the difficult part was to realize that I'm not playing sports anymore. So I'm used to having that regimen, you know. Football, you got to be here at this time. You got this to do. You got that to do. You got this. Everything is kind of planned out for you. And then when you stop that kind of sport, you kind of just, all right, so I got to make my own plans now.
Oh, that's different. Oh, I gotta do something that's not, you know, I have to do something other than sports now. And then for me, I had to find a way. I had to find my way to what I wanted to do and how I could make some success out of it. So I just went back to what I knew best, which was being an athlete, being a coach. So that's how it kind of slowed my, it kind of curved my career going forward. This is what I want to do. And then once I decide this is what I want to do, just go 100%. Go hard like you're trying to win a championship every year. So that's how I try.
I got kind of a fun question to come up my last question. But,
sure.
What is your favorite Tallahassee restaurant? It could be gone or it could be a new one. What's your like favorite Tallahassee place to eat?
Bagel. Every time I go there, I try to make sure I get at least the RBFF, the roast beef with the dip, and the turkey one with the turkey dip. I love those two sandwiches. Bagel. It's not really fancy or anything. That's always been my favorite. It hasn't changed. It hasn't moved. I always hit that spot. I want to make it to Tallahassee.
I lived right around the corner from it when I was in school, so I frequented it quite a lot. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Well, Donald, man. People, I get, you know, you were back in what 99 or 2019. You had a medical condition situation, which I mean, anybody that's watching or listening can go online and look it up. You had a seizure right after the wire-to-wire, you know, reunion, really. What is it like to see, because your daughter, you know, your daughter started a lot of stuff to help with your, like, GoFundMe and stuff like that, but the outpouring from the Seminole community and the Florida State fan base, and what does it mean to you to have such an outpouring from them?
It was huge. I felt the family. I felt the love. I felt the family. I felt everybody pulling for me. I don't know if I could just believe it, but I felt the prayers. It felt like I felt the prayers. And it was amazing being able to know that people that I probably never interacted with, but just the fact that we have a common bond as far as being our love for the school, our love for the community. They were rallying for me, and that turned out to be a big deal for me. That was a real blessing. It was huge. I couldn't even. They made the situation easier, a lot easier. I mean, I'm almost tearing up thinking about it. How much love I got. Like I couldn't even show. If you knew me right after the situation, all I could do was love and hug everybody. And then we went into COVID, so we couldn't hug and love anybody like that anymore. But I was a big teddy bear once I was done, because I couldn't show and express enough love that I was shown. So that was huge. It was a big deal for me. I really appreciated it. It came through for me.
Yeah. Patrick, Matt.
I'm good at my end.
I'm good.
Well, before we cut off and end the show, Donald, I just got one question. If Donald Heaven could sit down with his younger self, or really with the Seminoles team, track, field, football, what would you tell them, you know, what would you sit down and kind of have a heart-to-heart with them about?
To take the stuff on and off the field, just as serious as you take stuff on the field. Like I don't think I took the school, and I didn't take my the off the field things as serious as I did on the field. Like I had to be accountable on the field. I should have been more accountable off the field. I think that's what I would have. That's why I have a sit down and talk to my daughter, which is also the blessing of being able to share her and help her guide through that maze.
But take off field, just on field. Press it up on and off. That's how you generally get success in it. So that would be my biggest advice going forward.
Yeah. Well, that is going to wrap it up, Donald. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
We hope you have a great track and field season. Like, anytime you want to come talk football with us, man, just hit me up. We'll have you on.
That's fine.
You know, we all love to talk a little football, especially during the season.
Oh yeah.
But
you guys going to spring?
You guys coming up for spring?
Yeah, I'll be there for the spring game.
All right, so I come up spring game. You guys got to hang out.
I'll be at a volleyball tournament for my daughter, but I'll be there in spirit.
Sounds like a plan. Either or, we'll definitely catch up when you get a chance.
All right. Guys, as for myself, Donald, Matt, Patrick, y'all have y'all a great week, and go Noles.
Go Noles. Thanks for having me.